We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go. All right, guys, I'm excited to bring on our next guest, Miss Lindsay Adler with The Athletic. She just finished her first season on the Yankees beat. Lindsay, thanks so much for coming on the show, and welcome to the craziness of Yankees.
Thank you. It sure was a crazy season indeed.
Before we get into, I know we're going to talk a lot about the pitching coach situation and kind of the philosophy from the organization and what we're looking forward to, I think, in the future. But just quickly, your first year with the Yankees, was there anything, I don't know, that you weren't expecting, or was the whole thing unexpected? I know it was your first time on the beat, so I'm curious to hear that, because I know personally and a lot of the guys on our team really enjoyed your coverage.
Thank you. The biggest thing was that there was always something to cover. Something was always happening, and I know that it's not really going to be like that in seasons going forward, or at least hopefully there's not, 400 guys going on the injured list.
Right.
But just the range of stuff that happened throughout the season, and trying to kind of hone in on what was, what's a big story, what's a small story, how to approach this. It gave me a lot of different situations to kind of learn from. So hopefully if next year's a little bit less chaotic, I will be in a pretty good position. But also there's part of me that worries that if there's not as much, wackiness and news, it'll be a little bit more difficult. So I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely didn't have a shortage of stories with all the guys going down and stories coming up to take their place. So there was definitely a lot of that for you guys to pick and choose what you wanted to write about.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so the big news of the week since the finish of the Yankees season is Larry Rothschild is no longer the Yankees pitching coach. And really, I read your article from a couple of days ago talking about the turnover just in the pitching depths of the New York Yankees and the infrastructure all throughout the minor leagues as well. So it's really looking like they're going in, cleaning house and seemingly going to go in a new direction. So that's kind of what I'd like to speak with you about. But before we get into that new direction, Larry Rothschild, a lot of people use him as a scapegoat. I mean, it's probably Twitter's favorite scapegoat is Larry Rothschild. But yeah. you brought up in your article when you look back at his tenure at the Yankees, it was actually pretty dang good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think he's getting enough credit for helping turn seasons around for Tanaka and Paxton and even Happ and kind of getting everybody on a better track down the stretch. I mean, there was that week in July where we went to Minnesota and Boston, and then things really did rebound after that. It was interesting for sure.
It was almost magically after Cashman and the front office didn't do anything at the trade deadline. The Yankees, the pitching staff were like, we're good. We are confident with who we have. And these guys decided to start trying at that point, apparently, and ran all the way into the playoffs.
Yeah, pretty funny.
But when you look back at his actual tenure and you look at all the numbers, you marked one of the big notes really that I take away from this, because I think a lot of people don't realize it, is that he actually led the American League in his tenure over the 9 years that he was there with the strikeout, the 22.9% strikeout rate, which I think is surprising mm-hmm. to a lot of people if you think about some of these numbers. I mean, he's top five pretty much in every category. When it comes to mm-hmm. the numbers that you're looking at and, a sub 4 ERA, 3.92 for his tenure. So, overall, there was a lot of very positive things that Rothschild did for sure. And I think one of the big things for fans, because that's our perspective. I see when things burn down, what are they going after? Well, they go after mm-hmm. the curveball thing and all the news and the stories and the fact that Sonny Gray was traded over here and then went didn't have any success and then left, went to Cincinnati and, you know, made comments about the curveball thing. And Larry Rothschild is mm-hmm. known for off speed. So what's your whole take on, you know, why the perception of him is negative, really, from a fan's point?
You know, it's hard for me to say because I haven't been immersed in it, you know, for much beyond last year.
Yeah.
I know that this year was obviously tough for the Yankees pitchers. I think there was a lot of frustration built up by them not getting someone at the deadline and then, you know, maybe a couple guys this offseason passing on. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I don't think gets passed along to fans about things going on behind the scenes. And obviously there's a lot of stuff that I never hear about, but the big thing to me was early in the year, I don't think writers were comfortable talking about the different ways that the ball was playing. You know, players and coaches, by my understanding, basically got to the regular season and were handed balls that they suddenly didn't know what to do with. And I think that got really overlooked. And I think some of the, you know, pitching profiles of some of the guys they had, you know, in Tanaka and Happ, mm-hmm. you know, fly ball guys to begin with, like, I just think they got particularly stung by it. But I think it's just, you know, I don't think fans really know what coaches do behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I don't even really see it. You know, I hear about it, but, you know, it's hard, I think, for fans to see someone like James Paxton come in and struggle and then wonder what the hell the organization is doing to fix it. And I'm sure, you know, the whole Sonny Gray stuff last year has probably just eroded fans' confidence in their ability to turn pitchers around. But I don't think what happened with Sonny should be applied to other pitchers. Sonny coming to New York was a mistake. It was something I don't think he was comfortable with. I think the organization expected something different, and I think it's fantastic that he's thriving in Cincinnati. And so I kind of look at it as, you know, this was one guy. But I understand why fans see that and they're a little bit scared when someone starts the year and they're, you know, having a pretty rough season. There's this fear, you know, can they turn it around? So I get it, but it's hard and people don't see, you know, that Larry's one of the first people there every day from spring training until the end. You know, they don't see how much he lives and dies with each pitch. They don't, I know that's a cliche, but it's true. You know, I mean, there's plenty of times when the broadcast would show Larry and I was like, oh, Larry looks like he's going to puke. you know, I would not say there was a dedication or a, you know, commitment issue there. I think things just didn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, when you hear the players talk about Rothschild specifically, you know, CeCe was very outspoken about him, about how mm-hmm. the amount of work that he would do behind the scenes and that people just don't see that and the relationship that he has with certain guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's easy to latch on to certain, like, little narratives that can kind of catapult you in whatever, you know, whatever agenda you want to go towards. I think as a fan base, when you're looking for things to blame and people to use as scapegoats, you can look at, oh, well, Chad Green was, you know, not so good early on. Then he went down to AAA. Oh, you know, the narrative was away from Larry Rothschild and then got better, you know, right. Things like that, that right. I think people hold on to and then kind of use it as talking points.
Yeah. I think that's what's tough is that, you know, it's not in a club's best interest to tell fans every single thing sure. that's happening. You know, that would be just stupid. And so I think they have to live with some misperceptions like that. And I think, you know, that's what you take running a baseball team. But, you know, sometimes those perceptions are right. Sometimes they're wrong. I don't always hear the full story either. But, you know, like, you know, when Chad went down to AAA, it's not like Larry stopped being involved.
Right.
You know, Larry was watching all of that. He was probably directing a lot of it. And Chad told me at the end of the year that the biggest thing for him was just getting down there and getting a mental break. You know, he was like, it was just nice to go to a low pressure environment. And then he felt almost immediately better. So I don't really, you know, I don't really know all the specifics of what they worked on in AAA, but I just don't think it's as straightforward as Chad goes down, works with Tommy Phelps, who, by the way, is great and is one of the pitching coaches they did retain.
Right.
You know, and comes back fixed. I think it's more complicated than that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think there's a lot to be said with going down somewhere where you can really just focus on you and the things that you need to improve personally and not have to deal with all of the, you know, the noise of New York, the noise of the fans, mm-hmm. the noise of the media, the noise of just all of that stuff, you know, answering questions every single day. So I agree with you. I think that it was more complicated than that. But you did talk about so kind of moving forward to put a bow on Rothschild. It is pretty it's pretty convenient that Joe Girardi gets hired down the down the turnpike a little ways, and now Rothschild is potentially looking for work too. Do you see a natural? I mean, obviously there is a natural fit there, but do you see that as something that's going to happen in the future?
You know, without really knowing much. You know, from a reporting perspective, and I've seen reports that it looks like Brian Price will be the pitching coach, but like, you know, I don't know if you or your listeners read a story written by our Phillies beat writers toward the end of the year, Matt Gelb and Megan Montemuro. They wrote about the Phillies issues with their first year pitching coach, Chris Young, mm-hmm. and, you know, building trust with pitchers and delivering information and blah, blah, blah. And it was really revealing and looking at, you know, what a non-functional relationship between a pitching staff and its coach can look like. So my big takeaway from that is, one, it's interesting for me generally to learn that behind the scenes stuff, but also it sounds like Philly's probably learned that they need someone with experience and someone who can, you know, bring new ideas to the pitchers, but they, you know, do it in a way that they respond to pretty well. And so I do think, you know, whether it is Larry or whether it's Brian Price or someone with a lot of experience, I see that being the biggest fit. And obviously Joe and Larry are, you know, comfortable and familiar after working together for so long.
Yeah, no, I think it seems like it would be. And even, you know, even one of the trends that we're seeing now, which the Yankees have done with their hitting coaches, you know, the potential of, you know, for Girardi's side, not to talk too much about the Phillies, but I think it, mm-hmm. it definitely applies to what we could be looking at, you know, in the future. You mentioned Tommy Phelps is a guy that was retained, who's the pitching coach at Scranton. They mm-hmm. did it with Marcus Thames, kind of coming up with the guys that he had in the minor leagues. There's a comfort level there, you know. So you could say the same thing probably about Tommy Phelps. And, you know, maybe there's a relationship there where you have a guy that already has the trust of some of the staff, and then pairing with, you know, one of these newer age, you know, they've been talking to a couple college coaches and, you know, the technology and analytics guys, you know, maybe there's a nice little combo there.
Yeah. And I would say that I think Larry's interest in and appreciation of analytics and data that the Yankees provide is pretty underrated. I think everyone kind of looks at him as the old school type coach. And I think in a lot of ways, by my understanding, he was, but also he just tried to make it a blend of his kind of old school and new school. And so I don't think they're getting rid of someone who's a dinosaur by any means,
sure.
But it does really seem, you know, like the, like that very technology based is really what the future is looking like. And something that I've actually thought about quite a bit since writing that is the Mets having Phil Regan and Jeremy Accardo mm-hmm. working together.
Yep.
And I think that's actually a pretty interesting balance. And I would be interested to see or interested to know what other teams kind of try to find maybe a, you know, split philosophy pairing or something like that and try to kind of approach things from all angles.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that makes a lot of sense because I still think that there's a very, very good place for some of those old school tactics and old school thought processes in the game of baseball. The game of baseball hasn't changed that much. The technology has, the equipment has, the players are bigger, faster, stronger. I think a lot of those things have changed, obviously. But, you know, when you're talking about the game itself, there's obviously still a lot of, you know, overwhelming qualities that have been there forever and ever. And, you know, unless you have a guy like that who is still looking at certain of those things and trying to blend with that new school, you know, possibly overlooked, and then you revert back in a weird way. But yeah, no, I think that's an interesting thing. And the two coach dynamic, I think, would be, it's definitely something to think about for the way that they're going to fill these positions. But talking about the organization and the depth and kind of where they are with the infrastructure, Sam Breend, I think I'm pronouncing his name right. If I'm not, I may have butchered it, but we'll go with Breend, is the new pitching director for the Yankees. He was hired during the season, but they pretty much got rid of the majority of the pitching development staff, you know, from all in the minor leagues, and Tommy Phelps being one of the only guys that stays on. But Sam is one of those guys that came from, he was a director at Driveline Baseball. A lot of people know that from Trevor Bauer. You know, they're obviously extremely into the analytics, the technology, and all the newest stuff you could possibly look at and evaluate how someone is either hitting or throwing or catching or running or pitching, all of these things. So big influence, obviously, with that side of analytics and technology. How do you think he's involved with this process now moving forward with the new pitching coach?
You know, I haven't had a chance to talk to Sam, but I would, you know, if you bring someone in and you make him your director of pitching, I imagine he's going to have a lot of influence. And I would guess that he probably has a different circle of contacts than a lot of people existing in the Yankees organization, which is pretty interesting to me. You know, I will say, as far as, you know, a lot of the changes they've made, I don't want to make it seem like the Yankees are pivoting to analytics by any means. Right. I mean, they've been pretty much at the forefront of all of this technology, you know, for years, and a lot of those coaches have embraced that. The difference being, I think, that other teams like the Astros have been comfortable in the past talking about it, and the Yankees very much have not been. So the reality is, you know, Sam probably knows just a bunch of, I guess what I'm interested in is what type of player development they're interested in doing going forward, because one thing they've been very good at has been developing velocity. And I am sure that, you know, I'm sure that Sam can probably forecast some different advantages for pitchers going forward or things like that. So I would imagine he would be pretty heavily involved, and I would be really interested. I'm really interested to see what type of hires they make, because I think that'll really tell us a lot about what the Yankees are planning on doing going forward.
Yeah, I mean, Lindsay, we just want the spin rate. We just want the Astros spin rate, really. Like, that's just what we want. That's why we're bringing these guys in.
No. Spin rate is over. It's all about spin efficiency, active spin, a bunch of stuff I don't understand. Like, we're talking nerd stuff above my level of comprehension, but yeah, we are on to spin efficiency and beyond.
The nerds in the tunnel are definitely winning at this point. There's no doubt about that. The
look, I'm trying to keep up.
I think we all are.
Wish me luck.
I wish you luck. Formally, I wish you luck, because it's a lot. So talking about even just more of that, the two guys that have been reported that they've talked to now so far. And I think it kind of goes in line with exactly what you're saying, like that, you know, the who's in that contact list of Sam, and who is he talking to? Well, they're now talking to, they've interviewed, Chris Fetter, University of Michigan pitching coach, has been a hot name. I know the Mets, you know, had interest in him at some point as well. So he's been a guy that's been looked at in the major leagues. And then the other being the pitching coach from Arkansas, I believe it is. Yeah, the Razorbacks, Matt Hobbs, who also is another guy. You know, both guys, again, really into the analytics, really into the technology, trying to get that extra spin efficiency from their guys and have them take the next level. And, I think it's interesting because the guy who they brought in last year, one of the big free agent guys, being Adam Ottavino, who, used his father-in-law's, empty retail space up in New York to bring in all these cameras and bring in all this equipment. It's funny because, he had to do that on his own. And now it's seemingly the Yankees are kind of bringing all this stuff into play for the rest of these guys too. And I think it's just kind of a foreshadowing with what's happening with, the rest of that pitching staff.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, the idea of looking at college coaches. I mean, Wes Johnson, the Twins hired him last offseason, and that seems to be going well. I mean, even Derek Johnson, the former pitching coach for the Brewers and the current pitching coach for the Reds, he was at Vanderbilt for a long time, which is, where he built his relationship with Sonny and whatnot. But I think that's pretty interesting. And I think something about college coaches in particular that I find interesting is in their environments, they kind of get to run their own program. And so I think they become very, very familiar with a lot of, with kind of a wide range of what we're looking at in terms of pitching development. And obviously working with guys who are 18, 19, 20, 21, they're getting guys in the early stages of their potential professional development. So I think it's a really interesting trend. I'm interested to see how that type of stuff works.
One of the hot names, obviously, that every Yankee fan is interested in seeing, at least interview, and Brendan Cuddy had the news yesterday. I think it was yesterday that David Cone is really making it known that he is interested in getting back to baseball, and he would be interested in this job, in the pitching coach job. And everybody, he's obviously beloved as a former Yankee, current Yes Network guy. He's active on social. Like, he's a man of the people, and people I think are just very intrigued by that. Do you think there's any chance David Cone gets legit consideration for this job?
I don't know what Cashman and everyone, what they may be thinking, but I think Coney is a really interesting type of candidate. He was in there after game six. That experience really matters. I saw him go up to Aaron Judge and say, "I'm sorry, man, this shit sucks. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry." And they know that he has been there. He has been through a lot. And really the thing I found with Coney is that he's very open to listening and open to learning. And he doesn't really, he doesn't big time anyone. There's no, I'm a former pitcher, I know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm right. Sorry for cussing.
Oh, but, you're good. You're good.
I think he really does bring in an interesting blend of experience and not just knowledge in new age types of pitching, but a real curiosity about it. And yeah. I think he has a real respect for it in that, I think a lot of former players kind of look at this and think, well, I was successful and I didn't need all of this. Whereas I think, Cone's perspective is, I was successful, but what would my career have looked like if I had had all of this? And so I think he's a very intriguing option. But I can't really make a prediction on how likely that is.
Come on, we want predictions. We want names and percentages, and we're in the age of analytics. We need some numbers here. I agree with you. I think it'll be interesting to see, and maybe that's one of the pairings that could be. Having a guy that has all that experience, is close to the organization, maybe this is nothing, but to me, when he just wrote a book with Jack Curry, and just going through that process over the last, however long they were writing it, I can only imagine, took him deeper into, certain dives of his career and then into the analytics and things like that. I can only, just from thinking about how it would be to fill out a book like that, I can imagine it being, very useful and beneficial for a guy like Cone who wants to get deeper into these numbers. So.
Yeah, and I think doing that, you have to take a really honest look
yeah.
at, yourself in your career. And I think that's hard for a lot of these guys. But ultimately, I think the biggest thing that, you know, a lot of front offices are looking for in terms of a coaching staff is that ability to communicate. And I think, you know, so many of the coaches on the Yankee staff are very good at that. And so I think whether it's a college coach, whether it's David Cohn, whether it's someone we've never heard of, I really think that's going to be the biggest thing, because with all of the information that they will be receiving from the office, they need, or from the front office, they really need to be able to tailor it and translate it to each pitcher's need. And that's not easy. It's not easy, but I think that is the way for clubs to be successful. It's not just about having the information anymore. It's about how you package it and tailor it to each player's individual needs. And so I think that's really, in my opinion, that should be a really big part of it, is how well do they express these concepts? How persuasive are they when something needs to be changed? Because pitchers are stubborn as hell. Mm-hmm. And so it's not an easy job, but I imagine that'll be a really big part of it.
Yeah, I mean, they got there with their abilities up until right now. So changing things mm-hmm. like that is sometimes a hard task when you're talking to some of these guys. And that was one of the reason, probably the overwhelming reason why, you know, Aaron Boone was hired in the first place. The communication that was talked mm-hmm. about nonstop. Communication. So, you know, to me, when I'm looking at these candidates, it's going to be a blend of the technology and the new age stuff, and then also a guy, like you said, has to be able to communicate the ideas in a way that's effective and that the players will buy into. So it's half the battle, I guess. One guy is still around.
Yeah.
This is the last question before we get out of here. The last guy, mm-hmm. CC Sabathia is retiring, but not CC Sabathia is still out in the bullpen as of right now. Mike Harkey, does he stay or are mm-hmm. we keeping Mike Harkey around?
I haven't heard anything on that. They've been very tight-lipped about potential other coaching changes, yeah. But my understanding, in part informed by Harkey's appearance on R2C2, is that, one, he's very happy with the Yankees, and two, I know that the relievers all, you know, like him and trust him and trust him to advocate for them. And, yeah, I mean, when you see how tight-knit and how well the bullpen functioned this year, I don't really see any reason for a change there. But, you know, like I said, there's so many behind the scenes things, but it will be sad not seeing Harkey and CeCe walking out to play catch together and just
right.
thinking about how many fans get confused by this and how well they embrace it.
It is pretty good. It's every time that's my favorite. I think that is actually my favorite part about the players weekend, is when we see the not CC jersey on Harkey. At least we see all the old pictures of it as well. You know, it's pretty funny
because
it's
very accurate. That up.
Exactly. Right.
He better keep that up.
I think he's going to be around. I agree with you. He's a rock out there. I mean, when we're looking at the super positives from this year, it was definitely the bullpen. And, you know, that's a staple. I think he's got to stick around. So I'm fairly confident that he will and hopeful that he will. But Lindsay, thanks so much for coming on and taking some time in the off season. Again, really a big fan of your work and glad to have you on the Yankees beat and giving us all the good information that we can use too for shows like this. So it's super helpful and definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
And just to recap, Lindsay, where can everybody find you on Twitter? Where can they follow you and read all your stuff?
Twitter, my handle is my name, LindsayAdler. And then you can find my writing at theathletic.com. We'll have a bunch of, I mean, this should be a pretty crazy offseason for the Yankees. So actually looking forward to having a lot to write.
Yeah, awesome. All right, Lindsay, thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.